ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON, Chapter 4, Text 34. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam Jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Today is scheduled an initiation ceremony in ISKCON. There are so many initiation ceremonies, and I don't know exactly, but it must be thousands of devotees are initiated every year if we take all the initiations within ISKCON. Not that I initiate thousands every year. So it may seem like a a normal thing. Nothing in Krishna consciousness is normal by normal standards, by the standards of this world. Chanting Hare Krishna isn't normal. The conditioned soul doesn't chant Hare Krishna normally. Everything is supernatural or on a higher, categorically higher level than all the activities of the material world. And even though many people are initiated into Krishna consciousness in ISKCON, still for every single one who is initiated, it's a most important day, it's the most important transition from the status of practicing Krishna consciousness and becoming serious to making the commitment to do whatever is required to become fully Krishna conscious in this life with the faith that if I follow this process and if I follow this person, that Krishna bhakti koile sarva kama krita hoy, everything that I need, what I actually need, will be completely fulfilled by this process. So it is a very great step, no doubt. It means turning away from everything we've been doing and thinking since time immemorial. Of course, it's not that we just leave the world, but in another sense we do. Most of the devotees who will be initiated, they are householders, and their life in many ways will continue as previously. They'll continue with their household duties, but in another way, it's all left behind. It's going on like a dream, with no understanding that it has no ultimate reality. The really real thing is Vrindavan, and I don't mean the roads or the administrative system, but the land of Vrindavan, which is the land of Krishna. Of course, this land is non-different from Krishna, non-different from Golok Vrindavan, but to our eyes, it appears like a town within Uttar Pradesh in India. But really, taking initiation means initiation into the process by which we can enter Vrindavan, which is Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobe Mon Tobe Hama Herebo Sri Vrindavan. When we give up all aspirations and attempts to enjoy this material world, the mind is purified, then we can actually see and enter into Vrindavan. This Shravan Kirtan camp is especially arranged for my disciples to hear from me, because that is the first interaction of guru and disciple, or the foremost. One has to hear from the guru. Parnipat, well, submissively one has to hear. Parnipat means to offer obeisance, to fall down flat, and to submit all kinds of relevant questions, and to perform service. These are the three conditions by which one should approach a spiritual master. The formal method of hearing the scriptures explained by the Shastra, that is the duty of the disciple to hear. So this camp, Shravan Kirtan camp, is arranged for that purpose. And I have the confidence now that those who hear me will advance. Just as you, when you take initiation, you may do so with some trepidation. Trepidation means, you know that word? It means a certain kind of fear, what's going to happen in future. Am I going to be able to do this? One naturally feels one's own insufficiency. So also when I was first giving initiation, I wondered, can I do this? In both cases, taking initiation or giving initiation, we become more confident as we go on because we become confident of the protection of our guru. That means the one who is taking initiation, the one who gives initiation also, is confident that I can do this. In my case, I'm confident, not in my own prowess, but confident that if I continue to teach as I hear from Srila Prabhupada, then the same effect will be there. Of course, that's basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That if we follow the process, then the result will be there. Scientific process. If you do like this, you'll get this result. But practically, by doing it, we gain confidence that even though I'm very small and weak, shakti buddhihin, amiyati deen, it is possible by what seems impossible, that I'm a tiny jiva floating in the ocean of material existence, but if we hold tight to the lotus feet of our guru, then we can be delivered. So that's true of those who are taking initiation and those who are giving initiation. And by this time, I can see practically that those who do hear me with faith and follow, they do make advancement. I'm very happy with many of my disciples who are very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. I'm very confident that if they continue to do what I say, then they'll attain to the highest platform of life, pure Krishna consciousness. And even now, they're helping others to come up in Krishna consciousness, and they're very serious about that. So, those who don't hear me, they remain neophyte. So we have arrangements for hearing, just like this camp, and now by the grace of modern technology, we have this speaker box, can go on hearing. And I'm writing books also, so these are the duties of those who accept the role of a guru, to speak the message of Krishna, and it's the duties of those who are disciples to hear from the guru, and the gurus, Vande Gurun, the first words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, offering obeisance to all the gurus. We say guru is one, which means that they all speak the same thing. All the followers of Srila Prabhupada speak the same thing. If they don't speak the same, if you don't find the same thing that you find from Srila Prabhupada, you can know that their one and only qualification for being a guru is nullified. And hearing from those who don't give the same message as it is of Srila Prabhupada, then their whole qualification to be a guru is not that, because one is appointed within ISKCON or one is a sannyasi or whatever, is following the guru, qualifies one to perform the same service of initiating others. Of course, it may be some hear me, but then there's they may even hear regularly, but the shunilena shunayka, Narottam Das says, we hear but we don't hear. Just like in Bhagavatam we also have, pashyanapi na pashyati. We see but we don't see. We see every day so many people are dying, but we don't see the necessity of ourselves, turam yateta na pateta namritya yavan, of preparing ourselves for inevitable death. So hearing, that has to be with this attitude of Guru Mokha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arna Kori Homone Asha. With that attitude, if one hears, then the hearing becomes transformational. If one hears with the attitude that whatever comes from the words from the lotus mouth of the Guru, I make that one with my heart and don't desire anything else, then that becomes effective. But if we maintain a sense of independence from the Guru, from the instructions, then there'll be resistance within our mind to the instructions that we hear. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada gave the example of electricity, which is conducted through a copper wire. So it can go over long distances and you'll get the same voltage. Actually, silver is even more conductive, but it's expensive. There's practically no copper, there's very tiny resistance. So for the sake of discussing, we can say that there's no. So in other words, the same electricity from the powerhouse comes through the copper wire and is received at the same wattage at the place where it's to be utilized. So if we don't have any resistance to the message, then we get the full message, clear and effective. But if we have some resistance, if the copper is, or if it's not copper, it's another metal, or if the wire is broken, then we won't get the same effect. So my job as a guru is, or my service or my duty is to not get in the way of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, to convey them. Those instructions, they're like a very powerful light for dissipating the darkness. Krishne swadhamo pagate dharma jnana adibhi saha kalo nashta drishamesha puranarko dhunoditaha. The Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the light of transcendental knowledge. Krishna disappeared from this world at the end of the Dwarapa Yuga. The entrance of Kali Yuga was marked by the time that Krishna left this world. Krishna, he is the very form, the very meaning of all dharma and jnana, spiritual knowledge. So when Krishna left, that left with him, but he remains in this world as the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like the sun in the darkness of Kali Yuga, which will give light to people. So that light, intense light of Srimad Bhagavatam, is embodied or is fully manifest in the person of Srila Prabhupada and his Bhaktivedanta purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. They have the complete effect of Bhidyate Hridaya Granthish Chidyante Sarva Sanshayaha, of cutting through the knots on the heart, the material attachments, and destroying all doubts. So that's Srila Prabhupada's message is very powerful. And hopefully we all have the experience of reading Srila Prabhupada's books and being just struck at how powerful and clear and dissipating of all ignorance they are. It's a very different experience to reading the newspaper. If we read the newspaper, we get some information. And the information is mixed up with the ignorance of spiritual knowledge of the writer. It presents news of this world mixed with the inherent, as if axiomatic, understanding that we're in this world to enjoy it. And Srila Prabhupada's teachings, they're completely different. Inherent in every word of Srila Prabhupada's is Tamasima Jyotir Gamaya, come out of the darkness, come to the light. And even if we've read the same passage so many times, just like this purport, I don't know, I read it so many times, how many times I don't know, but it's still, it's so powerful. The words, such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. What do we mean when you say it's powerful? It's a command, a call to action. A spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. So what is the implication of that? It's a very powerful message that how we have to conduct our life in a manner that is so different from all the preaching of Kali Yuga that's all around us. You won't find in any school or TV program anyone teaches you have to fully give your life to a spiritual master. They may inculcate that you have to give your life for the country, which is nonsense, meaningless. But you have to surrender to a spiritual master. That in itself, it's a very powerful message. But it's upheld by Shastra Yukti. Shastra Yukti is Sunipun. Dridha Shraddha Ja Uttamadhikari She Tareya Shangsha. Shastra Yukti can mean arguments on the basis of Shastra. And it can mean explanations on the basis of Shastra. It can mean harmonizing various statements of Shastra. So one who's expert in that and has full faith is not just doing it as some kind of intellectual exercise. Such a person is called an Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava, and such a person can deliver the whole universe. We say Srila Prabhupada is Jagat Guru. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord is the original spiritual master. Now Krishna is properly called Jagat Guru. Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. But one who repeats the message of Krishna, they can also deliver the whole universe, because if anyone follows those instructions, it doesn't matter where they are or who they are or what they are in their present position, wandering in the universe in 84 like species of life, whoever takes this message and implements it in their life can be delivered. So these instructions that we receive, they're good for everyone, everywhere. Although generally, they'll only be accepted by persons in the human form of life. We don't usually find non-humans taking to Krishna consciousness. They can be benefited also. Just like this dog was barking while the kirtan was going on. The dog has no consciousness of what kirtan is or the importance of kirtan or any such thing. But by hearing that kirtan and by being in Vrindavan, that dog, the living being in the form of a dog, is benefited. But we can't instruct the living being in the body of a dog in how to systematically practice Krishna consciousness. It is not possible. It's another well-known example of Srila Prabhupada. If we get a group of dogs in a room, they'll simply bark at each other. You can't instruct them. That example he gave often in relationship to the venerable United Nations, representatives of various countries in their suits and ties. But Srila Prabhupada said, well, they're just in dog consciousness. My country, woo, woo, don't come here, woo, 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 woo. Srila Prabhupada had that experience in Singapore and Kenya. He wasn't allowed. In Kenya they eventually allowed him. In Singapore they didn't allow him in. So Srila Prabhupada said, they're just like dogs, don't come here. So if humans are in doggish consciousness, they cannot hear. They cannot be benefited. So one has to be human, generally, to accept these instructions. One has to be in the human form of life. One should properly utilize the human form of life for nishrayasaya, for the shreya, for the most. One should be intelligent enough to think, what's the best benefit that I can get from this life? Nowadays, actually for more than a generation now, the whole emphasis in India, be a success. Be a success. Make your life a success. So we agree also, yeah. But our idea of what is being a success is very different. The idea that being a success is that you have lots of money and your own house and respectable position in human society, well educated, that's not success. That means successfully preparing yourself to be the dog, another dog. Success means yadgat vana nivartante tadhama paramamama. Success means going back to Godhead and not coming back to this material world. That is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma ja janma sartak kari karo para upakar. So sartak can be translated as successful, meaningful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, those who are fortunate to be born as a human in this land, which is now called India, should make their life successful. That means Krishna conscious. And act to benefit others. So actually we're looking to all those who are being initiated. It's not just a matter of your own spiritual progress, but we become part of a mission. We're conscripted into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual army. We want to wage war on all wrong ideas and wrong practices. We want to get the eggs out of Vrindavan. Why should people be eating eggs in Vrindavan? Why should they be eating eggs anywhere? That's only one thing. The whole society is going in the wrong direction. It's been going in the wrong direction. Well, the materialistic society means it's going in the wrong direction. But so many bad things are going on, more and more and more and more. So this Krishna Consciousness Movement is for stopping all the bad things, for reversing the pace, the flow of Kali Yuga, and bringing in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden age, in which everyone is happy chanting Hare Krishna, and there's no question of eating eggs. It was like that even recently in much of India. In Gujarat, Saurashtra, I saw some discussion with Srila Prabhupada where someone was describing how in Bhavnagar, which is a major town in Saurashtra, West Gujarat, that one man, he had come from Sindh. So Sindhi Hindus, it seems from a long time, they're meat eaters, not in Bhavnagar. And the culture was so strong that even the Muslims there didn't eat meat. So this man from Sindh, he had come to Bhavnagar, he was very frustrated. I can't get any meat. Then he was passing by some place one day and he smelled something. Ah, meat. And he went inside and saw, oh, you're cooking meat. And people said, how do you know it's meat? It wouldn't be expected that anyone would even know what it looks like. And then he explained, you see, I'm from Sindh. And so he became part of their small club of people who were secretly eating meat. And now, Besharam, openly, everywhere. Omelette, on the train they'll come. Omelette. Very bad situation. So being initiated means, the real meaning of initiation is to take Krishna consciousness very seriously. And to combat this, it seems like impossible that we can turn the face of human society and make people godly devotees. Yeah, it's impossible, but by Krishna's grace, what is impossible becomes possible. It was impossible that I was going to chant Hare Krishna. What about you? We're not going to take any surveys here, but I would guess that most of you haven't followed the four regulative principles throughout your life. Is it? Most of you? Meat. Modern Hindus. Modern Jains. Meat. What else? Intoxication. I don't know. Intoxication is being translated as sharab. But it also includes pan, tea. None of you have been without tea. Very unlikely, unless you're born in an ISKCON family, not even in any other family. ISKCON, Gauriya Math, everyone's taking. Of course, drinking tea is not a major sin. But it's not allowed for those who want to be very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness in the line of Srila Prabhupada. And it's an anartha. It's something unnecessary, unwanted, Even socially, it's a big business which goes on exploitation. Those who are picking tea leaves, because there's no machine that can do it, it has to be picked by hand. They're the very lowest income. You'll see in Sri Lanka, Assam, Shillet in Bangladesh, how the tea, coffee, chocolate, these are all useless things which rely on practically slave labor. So it's a very exploitive business. So to be initiated means to join Srila Prabhupada's almost military endeavor to fight against Kali Yuga. And these were the words that Srila Prabhupada used here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, here in Bhagavad Gita as it is. He talks about practicing Krishna consciousness as if in military discipline. And many times he used martial analogies. For instance, that our temples are not meant for places for eating and sleeping, but they are bases from which we go out to drop millions of bombs on the population. That sounds like terrorism, doesn't it? But the bombs, he explained, they are books, transcendental bombs for exploding the ignorance in people's hearts. So many times Srila Prabhupada used these martial analogies, talking about authority. He said, without discipline, no organization, no institution can be conducted properly. So we have to follow the discipline of the commander-in-chief. So, becoming initiated is a great responsibility for improving one's own life, janma sarthak kari, and karo para upakar, for doing benefit for others. But one cannot properly benefit others unless one is benefited oneself. One cannot properly teach others not to smoke cigarettes if one is oneself taking cigarettes. That example Srila Prabhupada gives here in Bhagavad Gita as it is. So one has to fully accept a spiritual master in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. False prestige, this is what binds us in this material world. We hear a lot in these days of new agey pop psychology. I don't know how you can translate that in Hindi, but do your best. Of self-esteem, swabhimana in Hindi, it's also come there. Self-esteem, you should feel, yeah, I'm very good. But a devotee feels, yogata bichare kichu nahi pai. I'm useless. Shakti buddhihin ami ati deen. I have no power, I have no intelligence, I'm very fallen. One should be free of the false prestige of thinking, I am very important. Actually, everyone is very important because Krishna is concerned with every one of us. But considering oneself to be very lowly and fallen is a natural characteristic of a Vaishnava. And it's also a required element, dainya, of the process of surrender to Krishna, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishatiti vishvaso guptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanya shadvidha sharanagati. So in this Sanskrit verse, karpanya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given that as dainya. In other words, a natural sense of humility. It's not something to be imitated, and not simply by declaring or pretending, but actually considering oneself to be very insignificant. So, how do you be a guru then? As a guru is supposed to, the guru has to instruct the disciple. Acharyang mang vijani yan navamanyeta karhichitna martya buddhya suyeta sarva deva mayo guru. The duty of the acharya is to teach the disciples, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. In the course of narrating Srimad Bhagavatam, he'll come across this verse spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. He says that you should consider the acharya to be just like me. Never disrespect him in any way. Not consider to be an ordinary mortal or envious of him, because he's the representative of all the demigods. So the guru has to teach that and accept that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, he ceases to be a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava has to be humble, and a guru has to take a dominant position. Srila Prabhupada always translated guru as spiritual master. But a Vaishnava sees all other Vaishnavas as Prabhu. So it's a paradox, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, that to be a Vaishnava means you have to be humble, you have to follow the order of your guru, and the guru has instructed me to be a guru, so I have to do it. Without that, the sampradaya cannot continue. Without taking that role, others cannot be benefited in the manner that Krishna wants them to be benefited, by receiving the instructions of Krishna through the disciplic succession. They can't be trained in Krishna consciousness. One has to pass the test of the spiritual master. There are tests. The guru has to test. Are you ready? Are you going to surrender? Otherwise, what's the meaning of surrender? There has to be some actual activity in surrender. So the minimum activity in surrendering is we have today the four regulated principles. That much test is there. 16 rounds, four regulated principles. That's the basic test by which one can be accepted into this sampradaya. It has to be seen that one is actually following. And when we say four regulated principles, no meat eating, it actually means more than no meat eating. Just like no intoxication was translated as sharab nahi pina. But it means not to drink alcohol, wine. But it actually means a lot more than that. So it means no tea, coffee, gutkha, bhang. Here in Vrindavan you can get bhang ice cream. Not for us. Milkshake. That may be for others, not for us. Bhang means cannabis preparation, for those who don't know. So it means all kinds of intoxication. And no meat eating means no meat, fish, eggs, onion, garlic. You're all okay? You're all okay with that? You're ready? But it means actually no food other than that which is offered to Krishna. So you may think, oh, okay, so, okay, I'll buy a packet of biscuits and offer it to Krishna. No, not that also. Because it has to be that which is acceptable by Krishna. And Krishna doesn't eat, Mother Yashoda doesn't say, Krishna, just, you know, get something out of the fridge and help yourself. As is the modern life, is it? Children come home from school, the mother's not there because she's out at work, and you open the fridge, take something out and help yourself. That's not Vaishnava life. That's not even human life. The mother prepares. Vaishnava life means prepare, offer to Krishna, then you take. So it has to be cooked by devotees, offered to Krishna by devotees who are actually following, then you can take. That means that it cuts out so many things. Ice cream prepared in the commercial ice cream, so many things. Now that is a big test for most people in the world today. If we say that you only eat food which is offered to Krishna, cooked by devotees who are actually following, that's a big test, because the whole world is eating Kit Kat and things like that. You know what Kit Kat is? I saw an advertisement for it in India, which I used to eat Kit Kat as a child. It's some kind of chocolate with biscuit inside, something like that. So the whole world is eating all these kind of things. And for householders who are living in this world, the whole society, it is difficult. Actually, once you get practice to it, it's not at all difficult to give up eating food cooked by non-devotees. You don't even think of it. You can pass the sweet shop or the someone is selling aloo tikki. You don't think, because it just doesn't enter your mind. But living in society can be difficult. Someone will say, at work, someone may say, oh, my wife cooked some nice aloo tikki, you take one. No. Oh, why? Why are you being antisocial? Inviting you to a party, sorry, I can't go, because I don't waste my time going to parties and don't eat this food. So it can be difficult. People will call you antisocial, fanatic, and so many things. But that is a test. It is a great test. It is a great test on one hand, but on the other hand, it's just the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. To follow can be very difficult, but that's the test which you are today vowing to follow throughout your life. And it may be that even among our ISKCON devotees, someone say, you don't bother with all those things. It's better for preaching if we mix with people and socialize with them, because otherwise they'll think we're fanatics and then they won't want to be devotees. And in that way we can expand the number of devotees who are not following properly and they don't really benefit. So, what actually is the benefit? It doesn't benefit anyone. If any of you by chance somehow weren't aware of this and you're about to be initiated today and you're still in the habit of eating food which is not properly offerable to Krishna, do yourself a favor and me also. Just tell who's organized, Radhesh Prabhu or whatever, I'm going to defer my initiation. I'm not ready. Please don't embarrass me and take initiation when you're not properly ready. You have to pass the test. You have to be ready to at least in this small way, be different from the rest of the world. Don't be, if we can't follow this little thing, then how are we going to become free from the whole great Maya in which we've been entangled since time immemorial? So that, there's some little test there to see. Well, first of all, I have to instruct you like that because you can't properly advance unless you follow the basic principles. This is a very basic thing. Bishoye onna kaile molin hoimon. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if one eats food of sense gratifiers, then the mind becomes contaminated. So this test is there. Shaving the head. Srila Prabhupada would have the male candidates for initiation. They should shave their head. Once in Delhi, one man, he was a local shopkeeper, Kirana, grocery shop. Kirana means everything. All household basic necessities. So he came for initiation and he still had it. So Srila Prabhupada said, oh, his head is not shaved. And he chastised the devotee. He said, well, you didn't tell him. I didn't know. It was your duty to tell him. Why didn't you tell him? So Srila Prabhupada stopped the initiation ceremony and devotees went on chanting while he went out and got his head shaved, and half an hour later he came back and they continued. Another time in Detroit, Srila Prabhupada, he asked why they're coming with hair, short hair. And he was told that they're working outside. So Srila Prabhupada allowed this. But then later in Delhi, he didn't allow it. Maybe for India it's more strict, because to have a shaved head in India was quite a common thing. That if a relative dies, the head should be shaved. So nowadays people don't follow. Is it? You don't see. They don't follow. Widows wear jewelry and colored clothes. Who are they dressing for? Who are they trying to attract? So personally, I'm trying to bring back all these things, because all these things are conducive for our spiritual advancement and for establishing Varnashram society. So if you think it's too tough not eating food properly offered to Krishna, please don't take initiation from me, because there are many more things coming. Gradually you'll find out more and more, especially our Varnashram communities. But actually, householders, everyone, devotee, there should be the basic standards for everyone. Of course, those who are living on Varnashram communities, those who are brahmacharis in the ashram, we expect them to follow in a more strict way, but actually that's required for everyone. Because if you don't follow, you don't make progress. What's the point of this four regulated principles, 16 rounds? To make progress in spiritual life. The more we follow, the more we make progress. Of course, the attitude is the most important thing. So even though we know that so many householders are being initiated, and we know that their standard is, in many cases, not going to be very high, because the circumstances they're in with modern life, first thing in the morning is not chanting 16 rounds. The first thing is getting the children off to school, getting out to work. Many people are caught in a syndrome where they have to work 10, 12, 14 hours or more a day. So we understand it's very difficult. But one has to try to follow as far as possible and try to make a situation in which you can follow better. At least the attitude should be there. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So the attitude should be that I want to be more serious. No one should feel satisfied that I'm doing very nicely in Krishna consciousness. But one should think, I want to do more. I want to increase. I want to improve. That attitude should be there. The holy name of Krishna is very powerful. So even if by circumstances one is constrained to be unable to follow so many things very strictly, if one very seriously chants the holy name, that will have tremendous effect, no doubt. But all these other rules and regulations are there to help. They're not just there because, what, someone made them up. But they're there to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, I'm trying to inculcate this in my disciples. If you hear me, hear Srila Prabhupada, undoubtedly hear and follow Chitete Korea Aikya, make it one with our heart, then definitely advancement will be there. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is that great acharya sent by Krishna directly from the spiritual world, the senapati, the commander-in-chief of the army of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I am one of the fortunate souls who Srila Prabhupada lifted up. So clearly, I don't have the same stature as Srila Prabhupada, but in another sense, inasmuch as I am representing him to you, in another sense, I do, inasmuch as the Shastric injunctions to surrender to a guru, to follow his instructions, I, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, I'm taking that role. So even though I'm not on the same level as Srila Prabhupada, but still, all the injunctions, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasada nagati katopi, one should try to satisfy the guru, knowing that by doing so, Krishna will be satisfied. One can get Krishna's mercy. And one shouldn't think, well, anyway, what does it matter? Guru, okay, he gave initiation. I'm following Prabhupada, you can see. I'm following Prabhupada directly. So, you may think like that, but the injunction is that if you dissatisfied the Guru, then you can't satisfy Krishna. So that applies also. It's not that one can just imagine oneself to be directly linked with Srila Prabhupada or the previous acharyas. The principle of parampara applies even to one as inferior as myself, but taking this position and discharging it to the best of my ability. I could and should be doing much better, but my ability means as following Srila Prabhupada, which means following all the previous acharyas and presenting the same teachings. So to accept a guru means that, yeah, one has to accept the spiritual master in full surrender. One has to pass the test of the spiritual master. Sometimes I hear that some disciples, they have their own idea of what they're doing. They don't want to follow what I say, and they say, oh, Ramanuja. Ramanuja, he disobeyed his guru because he distributed the holy name Narayana against his guru's order. But don't make yourself into an artificial Ramanuja. There's one Ramanuja. And many millions of others who are nowhere near that platform. So to take one exception and try to justify oneself not following is simply cheating. One godbrother of mine who's now not present in this world, in the same body, once I asked him that, well, why don't you get up early in the morning and go to Mangal Arati? As is Prabhupada's instruction. He said, well, Prabhupada said that my father, Prabhupada's father, used to rise a little late. So that's the excuse. But Prabhupada didn't tell us to rise late. So if you look, if you can find some exception, Garuda is a great devotee. He's also a non-vegetarian. So you'll become non-vegetarian. In this kind of cheating mentality by which one makes excuses to not follow. Weakness may be there, but if one tries to make a philosophy of it, then that is very dangerous, because one tries to introduce the principles of non-Krishna consciousness, of sense gratification, in the name of Krishna consciousness, and then that becomes what's called an apasampradaya. Just like people who want to enjoy the illicit sex in the name of being Krishna conscious. They can invent some idea of Krishna and the gopis, but the result is not Krishna consciousness. The result is going to hell. So following is required. As I said, I'm very happy to see so many disciples are following very nicely, and frankly I'm unhappy to see that some disciples, they get in some strange frame of mind in which they become driven by their own ego and they can't hear anyone. They don't want to accept instruction even from Guru. Guru, and then there are so many devotees who are following, who are, one should take guidance from leaders, one should take guidance from them, but somehow they get in some egoistic mood, and I can't help them, because they put a wall around themselves, a wall of construed ideas by which they think they're in Krishna consciousness, but they've forgot the basic principle of surrendering to Guru. Or they may say, well, I only want to have a spiritual relationship with my Guru. That means I don't follow his instructions, but I imagine myself to have a spiritual. Spiritual for them means I imagine what is spiritual, and I imagine that the Guru tells me to do something, but he doesn't really mean that. See, I can understand his inner heart. And what he really means me to do is what I want to do. What I want to do. And in this way they cheat themselves. And worse, when they cheat others. Some people are very strong-minded. Here in India, you can get, if someone's strong-minded, they can get so many followers in the name of being a guru. There are so many cheating gurus. And within ISKCON also, there may be someone who's strong-minded, who can bring people in. But in this way, sometimes they preach, oh, the Shiksha guru is more important than the Diksha guru. In this way, they set themselves up as a guru for the people they bring in and keep me as a figurehead. I just give initiation, and in the meantime the person is going on as a so-called Shiksha guru and exploiting others and building up his own ego in the name of Krishna consciousness. Recently, talking about passing the test of the spiritual master, recently we had a very interesting experience at one of our farms in which quite a lot of the land is owned by individual owners, devotees. So we wanted to consolidate the land into one big plot. So it's very interesting. We asked all the different Grihasthas if they can donate it. It's very interesting, the test of the spiritual master. Some very gladly did so and said, yes, whatever you want, I don't have any property. You please take it and use it in Krishna's service. Others did so, but they made sure that everyone they spoke to knows I gave the land. They made it as if they had to make it known to others. Others promised to do so and didn't. Others made all kinds of excuses and lies why they couldn't do. Very interesting. I mean, you could just say, look, I'm materially attached, or I have some responsibility, or whatever. But anyway, it's very interesting to see. Even someone may know the Shastra very well, and they may even preach to others about not being materially attached. So the test, the first test, is four regulated principles, chanting minimum 16 rounds, and you have to read Srila Prabhupada's books. That will purify. You have to hear Srila Prabhupada. You can hear me also. That will purify. If we don't hear, then how is it going to happen? And it's not that Prabhupada's books and all other books are all the same. Not at all. The message of Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yogam, Krishna consciousness, which is the natural conjuncts of Krishna consciousness as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, detachment from this world and knowledge of our constitutional position in relation to Krishna. So we require to regularly hear and read and understand, and that will have its effect if we do so with a sincere attitude. And we have to associate with devotees who are cultivating that kind of mood, then we can properly advance in Krishna consciousness. So another test for the disciple is to fast on the morning that they're being initiated. So that may be a great test for some. Even Bhim Sen, the great Pandava, even he found it hard to fast, but all the others did. So you can eat as much as Bhim, you are allowed. But you have to do work like him also. If you can't, then you fast, only up until midday. So there are some thoughts. There are many more things to say. I'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.